Last year, right before Pesach, I mentioned to you that we have kashering to do. So everybody's worried about kashering their pots and the silverware and what's the latest for, you know, the latest countertops. Bems in truth, the chametz, not the one, God forbid, being negligent of any of those things, chas v'shal. Chas v'shal, within reason, in the right way, not mishagas. I mentioned last year that there are three basic types of kalim, there are three basic types of utensils, the ways that they're being kashered, the way to kasher them, or they can't be kashered. There's something called klei charis, something that's made of earthenware, klei charis. Klei charis, earthenware, can't really be kashered. It can't be kashered. Its kashering requires it being smashed into a million pieces. It can't be kashered. Then you have klei schuchis, glass. Glass doesn't need to be kasher. Okay, we have stringencies and so on, the differences here between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. But schuchis, glass, really doesn't need to be kasher. Then you have most kalim, most utensils. Most utensils, metal and such, fall into the category of utensils that require Haga'ala, required to be boiled out, depending upon how they were used. So there are three kinds of Jews. There are Jews who have become so saturated with their lifestyles, so completely satisfied with themselves, so used to living a certain kind of a life, that there are people who are like klei charis. They're like earthenware people. They're stuck. You can't get out the stuff that's in them. It doesn't. Sometimes if they're broken into a million pieces, it'll come out. But like this, the kasher, doesn't work. They're too tired. They're too bored. They're too smug. Everything is just going too well. So people who are klei charis, people who are earthenware type of people, are not kasherable. The normal ways of kashering won't work. Again, there's such a thing that someone could be smashed, God forbid. But then you have klei schuchis. You have people who are like glass, shining and new. Klei schuchis meikar hadin akoin tel halacha doesn't need to be kashered, because every single day, even after you use it and you drink from it and whatever you did with the glass, it shines mamish like the day that it was made. And it doesn't absorb from the impurities of this world. And there are certain Jews who are glass-like, who go through this world never absorbing any of its impurities, always fresh and always new and always excited and always shining. There are Jews like that. And then there's most of us. We're not quite earthenware, God forbid, and unfortunately, we're not glass. So we fall into the category of most kalim, of most utensils, which means that over the course of time, we absorb certain things that don't belong, and we become comfortable in a certain way of life. But it bothers us. It bothers us in a way that we wish we could remove, we wish we could kasher ourselves. So there is such a thing that people like this, like ourselves, can be kashered. We need a little Hagalas Kalim. Sometimes to be put in boiling water to understand what that means. What kind of kashering do people like us need? To be able to be new. That's what this time of year is about, to be renewed. So in that way, I want to talk about something. Sometimes I warn you. Even when I don't warn you, many people walk away not quite understanding what I was talking about. Not because it's anything profound, it's just because it wasn't properly taught. But today, there's a very strong chance of that happening. I'm going to try as much as possible to make some sense out of my feelings. They make sense to me. I have a hard time crossing over to you. So maybe we could meet somewhere halfway. Reb Tzvi Yehuda Kook Zeche Tzak Levrach. Reb Tzvi Yehuda wrote in a note of his father's Haggadah. What a schus that he was able to sit by his father for a Seder. So Reb Tzvi Yehuda wrote, Ovi Adoini Mori Verabi Zatzal, my father, my master, my teacher, Haya Omer, Rav Kook used to say means that he would say to every Seder. And it sounds like, from where the note is located, that he would begin the Seder with this. Before Kadesh Orchatz Karpas, he would begin with this statement. Haya Omer ki ilu loy hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es avoseinu mitzrayim lecheres olam l'matan Torah, that had Hashem not taken our ancestors out of Egypt lecheres olam for eternal freedom to give us the Torah, Hare kol ha'olam kulay, then the entire world, not just the Jewish people, the entire world. Hare kol ha'olam kulay, v'chol seder chaye ha'odam, and the entire order of man's life. Hoyu nish'arm al mekaymam b'li hishtanus. What does that mean? Hoyu nish'arm al mekaymam b'li hishtanus? Then the entire world and the order of man's life would have remained al mikomam b'li hishtanut, in its place, without any change, without any movement, without any growth, had Hashem not taken ours, Adis and Babis, out of Mitzrayim. V'chein hoya nisha hashibud lo'esai paru of Mitzrayim, and so the world would have remained, not just the Jewish people, the world would have remained enslaved to Paro in Egypt, whatever Paro would be called during that time. That's how Rav Kook used to begin the Seder. In his calendar, the Nisan, so Rav Kook wrote, Yitzias Yisrael from Mitzrayim, the Jewish people leaving Egypt, Yitzias Yisrael from Mitzrayim, Tishoyer la'ad ha'oviv shal ha'olam kula, remains forever the spring of all earthly existence. That Yitzias Yisrael when the Jews left Egypt, which has the spring, it wasn't stam that the Baruch Shalom wanted to make it nice for us. It should be comfortable. Although that for sure is also true. But it was the Oviv Ha'olam. It happened in the spring, Rav Kook said, because the Jews leaving Egypt meant that the springtime of all humanity, of all history, the renewal, the spring, the revival of all history and of all life. So let's try in our little small way, to taste a little bit what Rav Kook is talking about. In our way, to try to taste Rav Kook's teachings. We just read Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh of the new moon, of the sanctification of the moon. So we just read that, and obviously in the mitzvah of the new moon is the mystery of renewal. In there lies the mystery of renewal. That's why we read it this time. So the Torah says, Vayom Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron b'Eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hashem told Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, HaChodesh Ezeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month is for you the beginning of months. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana is the first of all the months of the year. So the question, of course, is, why does the Torah have to tell us where Hashem told Moshe and Aaron? It's not like anybody thought that the Jews were at that time living in Tel Aviv. It says, Vayom Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim, te'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. No? What does it mean be'eretz Mitzrayim? Everything's in Eretz Mitzrayim. In Eretz Mitzrayim. Everything was happening in Egypt. What does it say in the Torah? By the mitzvah of the Chodesh, of the moon, why does it say be'eretz Mitzrayim? Well, so Rashi thought of that question too, long before us. So Rashi says, "Chutz l'krach ena ella b'soicha krach." Rashi has a question: was this mitzvah given to Moshe and Aaron in the downtown Mitzrayim, or did he give them this mitzvah and show them the new moon outside the city, in Mitzrayim, but outside the city, outside the town? Talmud Loimer, Ketseisi, Seir, v'chul. So it says by the Makir that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu outside, Moshe Rabbeinu says outside the city, he went outside to Daven, that the Makir, that the place should stop. So Rashi says, Umat Tfilah Kala Leispalo B'Seich HaKrach, L'Fishahisim Le'Gilulim, that if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't even Daven inside that place, downtown Mitzrayim, he wouldn't even Daven there, because it was filled with idols, then Dibur Chomer Kazel Le'Kol Shekin is certainly the most, this most awesome mitzvah, the first mitzvah given to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of the new moon, certainly that wouldn't be given right there in the palace with all the filth, with all the idols. That's what Rashi says. It says in the Medrash, Tanchuma, in Parshas Yisro. The Tanchuma says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omel Eilu Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani Hu Shamarti V'Haya Eilam. Hashem says, I am the one who said let the world exist. That was, I am the creator. Ani Hu Sha'ani Mekarev V'Eini Merachek. I am the one who brings people near to me. Ani Hu Sha'ani Mekarev. Hashem's in Kiruv. Everybody wants to be in Kiruv? So Hashem was in Kiruv. Still is. So Hashem says, Ani Mekarev. Ani Hu Sha'ani Mekarev. I am the one who brings near. Sometimes a person who is involved in what's called Kiruv should remember that. That the Baruch Shalom is also in Kiruv. Ani Hu Sha'ani Mekarev. Ve'eini Merachek. And I don't push anybody, any Merachek. I'm a karev and I'm not merachek. In other words, I bring people near and I don't push them away. Ani hu shekiravti liYisrael. I am the one who drew Yisrael. Hashem says, I brought Yisrael close. I was the one that was reeling him in, pulling him in. V'lo rechakti, and I didn't push him away, despite the fact that he was involved with every idol in the world. I didn't push him away. I was makarev him. Af ata karvehu. So you too, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you be makar of your father-in-law. Don't push him away. I'm makar of him, you be makar of him. Al tarchikeu. Don't push him away. When Yisrael wanted to come and join the Jewish people, so the Baruch Shalom tells him, obviously Hashem saw Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a funny thing, the priest of all the idols of the world, he's going to come here and be part of the Jewish people, it doesn't look so good. So Hashem is Baruch, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, I'm the one who's makar of, and you be like me. Don't be merachek. Don't send anybody away. Just draw them near. Don't send away. Just bring near. So what Hashem is asking for in this pasuk, in this chazal, in the chazal, you have to try to understand what's Hashem asking. In this maimer chazal, in this saying of chazal, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to be makarev and not to be merachek, to bring near and not to push away. So what Hashem is saying, He's saying to each one of us to be makar of everybody, to be makar of other Jews, to be makar of the world to Hashem. That we hear. Now certainly, if Hashem is telling you to bring the world close to Him, then certainly, certainly He's telling you to bring yourself close to Him, no? That's also something that people in Kiruv should remember. That they too have to be brought close to Hashem. They have to bring themselves close to Hashem. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, be makarv, bring near, and don't be merachek. So certainly Hashem is telling every person till the end of time that naturally be makarv yourself, don't push yourself away from me, bring yourself near to me. Don't distance yourself from me. That's what Hashem is saying to every Jew. Don't distance yourself from me. I'm always trying to be makar of you, Hashem is saying. I'm trying to bring every Jew near to me. I want every Jew to come to me. That's what Hashem is saying. There was a great and holy master, the Piazetzner, the author of Chavis Talmid, Meish Kodesh, Derech HaMelech. The Piazetzna explains the first pasuk in Vayikra. This week we're reading Vayikra. It's always convenient because Vayikra is a very hard sefer. It has all the karbanos. So it comes out Pesach time. So everybody just talks about Pesach and Vayikra just goes on and on, waiting for someone to take a look over there, right? Vayikra. It's Vayikra. So the beginning of Vayikra. The pasuk says, Vayikra, Vayikra El Moshe. That's such a beautiful invitation. Vayikra El Moshe. Vayikra El Moshe is that the Rebbeinu Shlom is calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu, as he calls out to every single person. Come near to me. Makarev, to be makarev. Right? Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem is asking each person to come to him. Just like he asked Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Piyazesna points out. That by Bilam there's a slight difference. Now you remember Bilam? Bilam was a very, very bright fellow. Now, but Bilam was not a nice guy. So Hashem has a similar word when it comes to Bilam. The Torah says with Bilam, Vayikar Hashem el Bilam. Vayikar. Which means, different translations, but the Pashup Shat is that Hashem appeared to Bilam. Appeared. The word in Hebrew, Vayikar, maybe to be, he chanced upon. But he appeared to him. Vayikar Hashem el Bilam. So it seems remarkable. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe le, come here, come over here, Vayikra el Moshe, come over to me. Right? Hashem is Baruch invites Moshe Rabbeinu, come to me. And when it comes to Bilam, the Rebbeinu Shalom makes a house call. It says, Vayikar Hashem el Bilam. It means that the Rebbeinu Shalom went to Bilam. He appeared to Bilam. For my Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, come to me. So what does that mean? So listen to this. We have to take it to heart. The Pizetzner says, Bilam wasn't willing to go to Hashem. Hashem calls to everybody. But Bilam wasn't interested. Bilam wanted to be the same Menuvel. You know what it means, Menuvel? It's not a nice word. It means to be the same despicable person. He wanted to be the same Menuvel, the same Bilam. He didn't want to transplant his life and his ways and his feelings and thoughts from the life of Bilam and to come by the Rebbeinu Shalom's place. Bilam was unwilling to place himself into a new world, into the Rebbeinu Shalom's world, to go over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side of the court. Instead, Bilam remained in his place. With all of his disgusting characteristics and traits, with everything the same, Bilam remained. But remarkably, a spark of God's presence appeared to him. Now that appeared to him because of the Jewish people, for the sake of the Jewish people, but a spark of Hashem, something of Hashem's presence, of Hashem's light, appeared to him. But the point is that it appeared to him in his place, in Bilam's place, in Bilam's world. Now you understand that Bilam intellectually had enormous perceptions of godliness. He understood intellectually that Hashem is the only truth. And he understood intellectually that the Tov HaNitzchi, all eternal good, could be found only by the Rebbeinu Shalom, by Hashem. He understood. A grace of Baal Seichel. He was a tremendous, tremendous philosopher. A person of great depth. Of tremendous, tremendous depth. He understood B'derech HaSeichel. He understood Al Pi Seichel intellectually. And yet he remained B'Kitnuso B'Tumaso. He remained in his smallness and his filth, despite his intellectual acumen. He remained small. Until Sof Kol Sofim, until he was able to Lamaisa, even though the cursing didn't work, but you know that the end of the story was that he was responsible for drawing the Jewish people into problems and so on, what happened later on in the Chumash, which led to the whole episode of Parshas Pinchas, which we don't want to get into right now, the end. By Bolak and Pinchas, the end. Well, let's understand. I might understand with my seichel intellectually. In my seichel, I'm able to understand the nature of a lion. I read every single book that there's ever been written about lions. So I know how a lion looks, and I know how a lion breathes, and I know what a lion reads. I know everything about lions. I went through the whole sugya. And in my mind, I totally grasp what a lion is. But that doesn't help me in the slightest bit to experience the gevura sa'ari, the courage of a lion. Whatever that means, the fierceness of a lion. I understand, I studied, I read about, I'm an expert in the courage of a lion. Just like in the Wizard of Oz. So in the Wizard of Oz, he was able to be granted, which one was it? The Cowardly Lion, right? The Cowardly Lion. So he was able, you know, someone can come along, you can understand, you can look like a lion, you smell like a lion, you can make all the sounds like a lion, but you're still not a lion. So a person can intellectually grasp something in its entirety, in its deepest way. That the fact that you understand something doesn't turn you into that, right? Does not transform your life, doesn't change you. So it is with a human being. And this is a scary thing, this is an upsetting thing. That there is such a thing as a person who, God forbid, receives his energy and his life from this other side, from the side of impurity. A person who lives a life of avarice, rebelling against the Torah, going against God's will. The fact that in his seichel, the fact that intellectually he's able to understand a machloks between the Rambam and the Ravid, the fact that he's able to understand what Rashi means in this pasuk, the fact that he's able to reach the greatest depths of understanding of what this Gemara means, of what the Zohar means, of what the Medrash means, and so on. But all of that knowledge might not in the slightest way change his life. In the slightest way. Make him better. Uplift him. Ennoble him. At all. Even though he knows what holiness is. And he reads all the books about holiness. But nevertheless, he finds that his desires are still for the same disgusting, for the same filthy things. Despite all that he knows. So the Baruch Shalom tells the Jewish people, listen carefully, the Baruch Shalom tells the Jewish people two words that have caused us at the same time such difficulties and such potential, such excitement. Kedoshim to you. What does it mean, Kedoshim to you? Be holy. Hashem doesn't say we should do holy things. There are other psukim that sound like that. Hashem doesn't say, do things that are holy. Read books that are holy. Imitate something that's holy. Act as one who is holy. The Hashem doesn't say that. I mean, he says another place. But these two simple words, kedoshim tiyu, mean not to do things that are holy, but to become holy. To go into the realm of holiness. To enter into the world of holiness. And I'm a hus in the very essence of who we are. To be holy, not just to do things that are holy. Every time you put on tefillin, we daven, these are all holy things, but you could remain so far from holiness like we are from the courage of a lion. That's how far we are from holiness. So the Baruch Shalom says, beautiful, I want you to do all the holy things in the world, but the tachlis is like, kedoshim to you, that you should be, that you yourself should be kaddish, you should be holy. And that's what it means in the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe. Vayikra el Moshe, that Hashem called to Moshe Rabbeinu. What he's saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe Rabbeinu, come over here to me, lift yourself up out of all smallness. Don't try to live in a small world, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't try to live in your world and to bring a little bit of me into your world. That's also Madrig, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But that's not for you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra el Moshe means, not that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem appears to Bilam. Just like a person can be lying flat on his back at the bottom of a pit, and once in a while a bird will move something away from the top of the pit and he'll see a little bit of light. But that doesn't mean he's standing in the sunlight. It means he's flat on his back, lying at the bottom of a hole. Once in a while the light appears to him.
No.
Hashem doesn't ask, Hashem asks from us, Vayikra al Ma'ish means come over here. Come to my world. Come to my side. Get out of the pit. Climb out of that. Come over to me. Kedoshim to you. Not just in your filth to do things that are holy. Although again, that's a madrig. I'll talk about that. But leave that place. Vayikra al Moshe, Hashem beckons, He calls. He's calling to everyone to be makarev, to come over to His way. He called the Shani Hashem Elokeichem because I am holy. By Bilam, the Pasuk says, Machsa Shaka Yechzeh Neufel Gulayinayim, which means that even though he was able to see on the most profound level, to see the greatness of Hashem, it was revealed to his eyes, but it says, no, he still remained a fallen, disgusting person. Didn't change him. So let's talk now about ourselves. Sometimes a person has a ratzon katan. Ratzon katan. No? How do you translate ratzon katan? A small will. By the goyim, that means somebody is not leaving somebody else a lot of money. But by us, a small will, a ratzon, a kleiner ratzon, what does it mean, a ratzon katan? A little will. A little bit of will means I want to become a little better. No major, huge overhaul, because I want everything to stay the way it is. I like my friends and family. I like what I do on Saturday night, and I like the scene. But I want to be. I have a ratzon katan. I have very modest and humble expectations of myself to become a little bit better. What does it mean? It means my davening should be with a little bit more kavana. It's nice. I'm not saying anything bad. It sounds like I'm making fun. I'm not. I want my davening to be a little bit better. I want Shabbos to feel a little bit more Shabbostic. I want that I should maybe be a little more careful with my kashrus, a little bit more careful with honoring my parents, a little bit more. Ktsas yoter tov, ktsas yoter tov. A little bit better. I want to be a little bit better. That's called a ratzon katan. A kleiner ratzon, a little will. A bit. And sometimes, sometimes rarely, a person is overwhelmed with a ratzon gadol, with a great, great, great desire and will, where suddenly that person looks at this world and the world nauseates him. The world sickens him. He looks at his friends, and sometimes even family, as kind, as good people, but as strangers. There is such a thing that a person looks at the world, and the world looks in his eyes like a base of shagayim, like a crazy house. And that person is suddenly filled with a great longing to go away from this world that he's in. Not to die, but to just move, to get up and move, to move over to the Rebbeinu Shalom's world. To be mizdabik to Hashem. To be mizdabik, to be attached to the truth. Not a little bit davening, a little bit kashrus, a little bit toiv. Just this unbelievable, earth-shattering, powerful desire to change my address. I'm at the wrong address. The little rotzen means I want to stay in my address. The same thing. A little bit better. I want to make some repairs. Fix the kitchen up. Make an extension, build a deck, the daven a little better, a little more kashrus, a little bit more kibud avayim, a little bit more taharas aloshen, care with speech, good. Home repairs. But then there's such a thing where a person just looks at his place that he's been in for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years of his life and says, genug shein. How could I have been here? This is not for me. And he feels like a Yudah Levi who wanted to be a bird and fly to Eretz Yisrael, right? You just want to be able to get up and leave this, to change the address. Whereas until now, on the envelopes that were addressed to you, it said your name and that little address and that little street and that little world. Now it says on your envelope, Melech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch, care of Melech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch, care of the Master of the Universe. That's where you reside. That's where you live. Vayikra Moshe. That's what it means. Not to be lying flat on my back and a little bit to see some light, but to move. Tischadshus, that's what it means to be renewed. That's what something, that's what it means, a hagolus kelim. So then you want to change the order of your life. Now when this happens to somebody, you know, this person always needs coaching. This can be a very dangerous thing. Sometimes the person runs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then falls terribly. Terribly. So I'm not discussing that right now. I'm discussing that movement inside. That's by Yikra al-Moshe. But by Bilam, the Torah says, Vayikar Hashem el Bilam. That Hashem went to Bilam. Hashem went to Bilam. That means that the person remains in his world, at his address. The person remains there with the same Meshagah, some of the same overall general picture of the world, of reality, but has this feeling. This is also important by a Jew. It's precious beyond words. A feeling that I want to make things better in my miserable little life. But to make things a little bit better. So, the ideal, of course, is Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem says, come over to me. Come over here. But the Rebbe Shalom is very wise. And he sees and he knows that there are very few people who are courageous enough, who are Moshe Rabbeinu's, to close their eyes and hold their noses and to jump into the Rebbe Shalom's new place. There are very, very few people. There are very few people who are prepared to do such a thing. It's very difficult. So, Hashem asks from us the following thing. This is the job of a Jewish person. That whatever matzav you're in, whatever situation you're in, you can be mamish flat on your back at the bottom of the pit, of the lowest pit that exists. Whatever your matzav is, whatever your situation is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he sends you these little, he appears to you. Like the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, that's what it means, that there's a voice that goes out every day from Har Sinai telling us to return. So the Baal Shem says, when did anybody ever hear such a voice? So when you have that feeling that your life is not 100%, you know, when you have that feeling that maybe I need some adjustments, not that overwhelming sense of that big rotznuch that everything's crazy and I gotta, and not that, but when you have that something pulling at you, something is bothering you. The Baal Shem HaKadosh said that a Jewish person at that moment is receiving a visit from Hashem, Vayikar. And the word Vayikar means precious. Also, Yakar. Hashem is paying him a little bit of a visit. That's the bas call, that's the voice that awakens the person, not with this great longing, but awakens the person to this small feeling of something has to change in my life. You know, I have to do something. I have to be a little bit better. And that's the beginning. That's what a Jewish person can do. In your matzav, where you are, when it comes into your brain, and when it comes into your heart, that I have to be better, that I have to try a little bit harder with sneis, with kashrus, with Shabbos, with mitzvahs, ben aron l'chaveiru, between people. When that comes into your heart, into your mind, Hashem is speaking to you, as he appeared to Bilam, even though you are not in a good place, even though you're on your back, even though you might be in a world with your address stamped on the envelope, not Hashem's, but the Rebbeinu Shlom speaks to us. Even there he appears, does he appear to Bilam? He appeared to Bilam. He appeared to Bilam's behemoth. Which is true, the behemoth is on a higher madrega than Bilam, so I shouldn't use like a... So he appeared to the behemoth, and he even appeared to Bilam. So certainly Hashem appears to us. And he appears to us in the form of those... when the heart gives that krechts. And then you have to act upon it. In your matzav, in your situation... And only if you act upon those small little vibrations that are sent to you, only if you are sensitive to the Vayikar Hashem Elecha, to Hashem's little cameo appearances in your life, only if you're sensitive to those appearances of Hashem in your life, in your little life with all your Mishagasim, if you're sensitive to that, to those appearances of Hashem, then you could be Zoyche, eventually you could be worthy. Eventually you could be worthy to Vayikra El Moshe, where you feel at some point just absolutely overwhelmed, and there is such a thing that a person can feel that way even without the little steps. There's such a thing as chasavis, ancestors and shamayim that are working hard to help you out. It could be something amazing that you did that you didn't even know that you did. Who knows? But usually it doesn't work that way. Those of us who are waiting for some revelation of God, those of us who are waiting to feel this huge upheaval, we shouldn't hold our breaths. It doesn't. Generally, that's not the way things work. Generally, the way things work is that where you are in your matziv, in your situation, when you feel a little bit to do something better, chap, grab that. You grab that and you run with the ball. And then eventually, if you do this, you try to do this time after time, then you're going to have eventually a vayikra al Moshe, that Kosh Baruch Hu is going to tell you, I'm a car of you, come over here to me. And at that point, you see that all the little tikkunim, the little home repairs that you are making, they seem so silly and so small and so pitiful because it's time to move. It's time to change. And that's the meaning of what it says in Chazal, that everybody here knows this famous Chazal. Just try to look at it in a new way. What Hashem says to us, Pischuli Pesach kepisl shel machad v'niyeftelchem kepisl shel ulam. Open up for me the opening the size of the eye of a needle and I will open up for you a great hole. Right? Everybody knows that Chazal. Hashem says, open up for me the opening the size of the eye of a needle and I will open up for you the opening of a huge hole. So there are two openings we're speaking about here. There are two openings. First Hashem says, Pischuli Pesach kepisl shel machad. First Hashem says, you, in your life, at your address, with all your crazy things and problems and aveiros, whatever you do, in that world, Pischuli Pesach. Open a door for me in your world, in your place. I'll come. I'm knocking at the door. Open up the door. Pischuli Pesach. And then Hashem promises that if you live such a life that you try to make those openings, if you try to let Kosh Baruch win when he comes in those little ways, to change your ruts on your will in a small degree, then Hashem says, "Vani eftach lachem kepischa shalulam." Then I will open up my opening and invite you into my house. You understand? Then comes Vayikra el Moshe. The first way is Vayikra Hashem el so and so. Vayikar, not Vayikra. Vayikar Hashem. That Hashem went to you. Let him in. Pischuli pesach kepischa shalmachat. But the response eventually is going to be. And I will open up for you in my home. Hashem says, I will open up for you a great, awesome place. That's that feeling that you just, that all before was meaningless and that all that will be is attachment to the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we see an amazing thing. Let's just try to understand a few things that surround us. That's why it's an amazing thing. And Hashem has chosen to make a world in which there are certain places that are holy. Mekom is Kedoshim. Mekomot Kedoshim. If you think about it, it doesn't seem like a Jewish thing. It just doesn't seem like Meloch al Haaretz Kavod, the world is filled with God's glory, right? You would think that the way of our religion would be, the way would be that Hashem is equally everywhere, Soyev Kalam and Malak Kalam, and Leis also Poniminei, he surrounds all worlds, he fills all worlds, there isn't a place that's empty of his presence. But then all of a sudden you have this thing like, we're all going to go to Kever Rachel. We're all going to go to heaven. All these places should remain forever in our hands. We're all going to go to Yerushalayim. And if for some reason you can't be in those places, we're going to go to the Beis Medrash, we're going to go to the Beis HaKnesset, the Shul, the Beis Medrash. And when a person feels horrible distress, some people will even stick their heads right into their own Kodesh. You put your head right in there. You can't do that by the Kaisel. You can put it into the Aron Kodesh, but you can't put it into the Kaisel. In the Chutzlars, you can put it in. So you put your head, people put their heads right into the Aron Kodesh. So why does the Baruch Shalom do that? Why does he have such a thing like these select places, these locations? So from what we're learning, we think we can understand a little bit on our level. These are all things that I'm Amish Alpi Kabbalah, just to try to understand on our level. It's true that you could be in one place and imagine what it's like in a holy place. Just like you could imagine what it would be like being as courageous as a lion. Thoughts. Imagination, or Bissal Salanta said at the beginning of his famous letter, imagination. Wherever you want, you can go. Wherever you want. But Hashem doesn't want that. I mean, sometimes it's the best you could do. But you know what the Baruch Shalom says? I want you to learn how to pick yourselves up and move over to something that's holy. I don't want you to sit and stagnate in your little place and wait for holiness to come to you. Although there is such a thing. We're talking about that. Nevada, certainly you do what you can, wherever you are. But the ideal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's training us. And Hashem's training us forces us, when possible, to lift up ourselves physically and to go into a place and to know that you are now engulfed in holiness. This is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's addresses in this world. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Mekremes Kedoshim to train us to change our address. Not to lie at the bottom of a filthy place and to wait for some little bit of inspiration. But to become people who are willing, who have the desire, the big desire, to go over to the Rebbeinu Shlomo's place. Which tzaddik was it? I don't remember. Maybe there's somebody here that I'm already coming to a point in my life where my students are correcting my stories. So, that's a good sign or a bad sign. Maybe it was the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernovitz. The Siddur Shal Shabbos, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. So the Be'er Ma'im Chaim when he was brought to the Bedit Sheva, the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak, when the Be'er Ma'im Chaim was brought to the Kedushas Levi, he had never been by him. Never, ever. The Kedushas Levi never heard of him. He wasn't yet famous, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernovitz. When he came into the Kedushas Levi, the Kedushas Levi turned around and looked at him and said, Zeh Sheli. What does that mean? This one is mine. And everybody said, what is that? So Kedushas Levi said, little boy, he said to him, when you were a tiny little boy, your father brought you to me. And one time you were under my talis for a few minutes. You're mine. So he said, Zeh Sheli, you're mine. In other words, that the Be'er Ma'im Chaim became a Be'er Ma'im Chaim, so Kedushas Levi said, because one time, when he was a little child, he was under my talis. He was with me under my talis. So the Kedushas Levi looked at him, he hadn't seen him, he was a grown man, and he looked and he said, Zeh Sheli, you're mine, you belong to me. You belong to me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to belong to him. He doesn't want us to be far from him. He doesn't want us to be like economists and politicians and sociologists and psychologists and accountants and doctors and lawyers and housewives. Those are things that you do. But he wants us to be by him. That's who we are. Be'etzem and k'doshim tiyu. That's what he wants. Not that we should be. This is what we do, and we'll also be like once in a while we show up at the Baruch Shalom. In transit. No, he wants us to move in, to bring all of our bigs, and to come in. That's what Hashem wants us. Like you felt it last week when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us about Shabbos and about the Mishkan. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael, right? You know what I felt when we read the Pasuk? What does it mean, Vayakel? No, what's the title? What's the translation of Vayakel? He gathered. My mamish felt like the Kedushas Levi pulling me under the talus. You don't feel that? Moshe Rabbeinu says Vayakel. It wasn't like you think Moshe Rabbeinu. Look, we have to start having minds that are able to think and to imagine what things really are. Not, God forbid, to be cold people. You think that Moshe Rabbeinu stood up at a microphone and Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the Jews and said, "Here you go, here's Shabbos and all this other stuff." Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu mamish wrapped his talus around the whole Jewish people. He says, "Come over here. Come to me. Come in with me, because I'm holding here. Come in with me here." Vayakel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael. When the famous earthquake was taking place in Tzvas, the Holy Rebbe, the Basayin, Rav Avraham Avitcher, sent around a boy who went telling all the Jews of Tzvas, quickly come to the Rebbe's shul, come to the Basayin shul. And they ran into the shul of the Basayin, and they pushed, hundreds of people pushed to get near the Rebbe. The Rebbe was screaming, "Come near me, come." He stood by the Aron Kodesh, and he was telling the Jews, push, come here, come. And you know that that the place where the last Jew in the shul was standing after that place collapsed, and that shul was standing until 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago. Wherever they were able to get close to the Basai, till that place of the last year that the Basai was able to throw his talus over, till that place, the shul stood. Beyond that place, the shul collapsed. That's what it means. Vayakal Moshe kol hadas bnei Yisrael. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to us. And now we understand. Let's finish. Now we understand the difference between the light of the sun and the light of the moon. And why is it the Jews count time by the light of the moon? And Rosh Chodesh is coming upon Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not just Rosh Chodesh. Wednesday night, no? So Rosh Chodesh, it's tomorrow night, is the time that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the new moon. That's it. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the beginning of beginnings. And the beginning of our beginning is that we count time by the moon. You know why? Because when the moon arrives, it doesn't cancel the darkness. The moon is surrounded by darkness. Darkness, the night, continues, despite the presence of that little bit of light. What the moon tells you is that it's possible in your darkness, to have a little bit of light, and you should chap that little bit of light. In your place of darkness, although you're so far, and you've done a various, and God forbid, all kinds of problems, but Vayikar Hashem al Moshe el Bilam, the appearance of God, and let's leave Bilam out, that's for them, it is for us. Vayikar Hashem Elecha, the preciousness of Hashem appearing to you, like the moon in the darkness, where the darkness continues. There's still darkness, but it's a rotzon tov, a klein rotzon katan. That's what the moon is. The moon means a little bit of a desire. In my darkness, there should be some light. Ki'esha b'cheshach Hashem or li. That in my darkness, there should be a little bit, I should be a little bit better, a little bit more illuminated, shining a little bit brighter. And to be patient until that day when the sun comes out. Because sunlight means a whole different way of looking at things. It means where everything has changed, where everything is different. Now the fact that the non-Jews count time according to that they count their seasons and so on according to the sun, it means that they wait only for the sun. And they reject, they don't care about, they're not interested. And they sit and wait and think that all of a sudden everything is going to change. But the Jewish people know the mystery of the new moon. And the mystery of the new moon means that in order to reach that point of sunlight, in order that things should become clear, in order that there should be that great upheaval of a Yikra El Moshe, in order to experience that, the Jewish people understand that Hashem understands that not everybody is able right now to become attached to the sunlight. So Vayoyim HaHashem L'Moshe V'Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Leim. Well, let's go back to the first question that we asked at the beginning. So it says, by this mitzvah that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, where? In Egypt. In Egypt, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. It's a question, was it in downtown or uptown, whatever? But in Egypt, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, look up, look up. You see that? Kazeh, like this, when you see this, that's the Kiddush HaChodesh, that's the beginning of all life. In Mitzrayim, in your smallness, in the ugliness, in the darkness, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron a tiny speck of light in the darkness. And that's the Rosh. That's the beginning for every Jew. Not to wait for some great, overwhelming, huge experience of Vayikra El Moshe. It'll happen, but only after years and years, sometimes a lifetime of Vayikar, of that little bit coming to you. In the midst of your craziness and darkness. Therefore this mitzvah was dafka given to us in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim. To know that in Mitzrayim Hashem still calls to you. And He doesn't just call to you, He calls to you the opportunity of renewal, the opportunity of kashering, the opportunity of change, of becoming. In Eretz Mitzrayim. And to believe that Sof Kol Sof Hashem is going to take you out of Mitzrayim. Now here we come to Rav Kook. Now here we end with going back to the beginning. Rav Kook. So Rav Kook said that if Hashem hadn't taken our ancestors out, the whole world wouldn't have been able to change. Forever we'd been stuck. Forever we'd be stuck. The world would be the same. Nothing would have changed. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews leaving Egypt, meant it was the springtime of all history, the springtime of all humanity of the world. The meaning is, that from that little opening of the moon appearing to us in the darkness of Egypt, the Jews were able to take that opening and to make out of it a huge, huge thing called Yetzias Mitzrayim. With the 49 levels of impurity, with everything. We're able to take that little bit of hope, that little bit of his chazkas, that little appearance of Hashem to us in Mitzrayim, and to open that up into this huge thing called Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim means that Hashem took us out from a small place, from our address, and he brought us into a big place. We left a place called Meitzar, and we entered into a world called Harchava. La'aretz chemda toiva rechava. And such a thing can happen. If you're able to be a Jew who sees the levana of the moon, that and works with yourself in your Mitzrayim, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will take you out just like Bnei Yisrael were taken out, and forever we have hope since that time. That you could mamish be transported out of the way of Vayikra El Moshe to be taken into the Bein Shalom's world. Into Hashem's place. Into the sunlight, and to the greatness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. See, our problem is, I put it very simply, the problem that we have is that we usually think of ourselves in a very, very low way. We think of ourselves in a very, very low way. And because of that, if you think that you're very low, then you demand very little from yourself, right? If you think of yourself as worthless, then why should you expect so much from someone who's so worthless? You would definitely, every one of us would expect much more from the Chofetz Chaim than we expect of ourselves, no? Like if you would see the Chofetz Chaim acting like you, you would say that's not nice. If you would see the Chofetz Chaim acting like you, because the Chofetz Chaim is supposed to act like the Chofetz Chaim. But me, I am me, so I act like me, and me is not good. So because you're used to thinking of yourselves as being, we used to think of ourselves as being so worthless and so small and so insignificant. And so what happens is that over time, you stop expecting anything from yourself. And then you know what you begin to think? A person as low as me, taka does averis. Someone who's low as me is supposed to do averis. Because according to the rules, when you're a very, very low person, you do averis. Since I'm a low person, therefore I should do averis. I don't want to be inconsistent. If I'm a low person, I should be doing averis. So we have this dichotomy. I'm a low person, but everybody's telling me to be a tzaddik. I'm a low person, everybody's telling me to do mitzvahs. Me. If I'm a low person, low people do averis. They don't do mitzvahs. That's not how a Jew is allowed to you're not allowed to think that way. And as much as people will come along and, God forbid, and put you down, chalila, put you down, you put yourself down, you should know that it's against the way of the Torah. You can't delude yourself, chas v'shalom. But the way Jew has to think is as follows. And these are the words of the Piyazetzner himself. Be'emes Yisrael ani. In truth, b'nayid, I'm a Jew. I'm a Yisrael. I'm a Jew. Be'emes Yisrael ani. Ish Elyon. What does that mean? Ish Elyon. An exalted person. An exalted person. However, I've been blemished with the following problems. The following things have hurt me. It's a different way of looking. You have the person that looks at himself like a Bilam. So Bilam's acting a certain way. But if you look at yourself as a Moshe Rabbeinu that's had a bad couple of days, or weeks, or years, or decades, but you're a Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael ani. Ish Elyon, an exalted person. Then over time, you're going to reach a point, when you look at it the right way, it's going to reach a point in your life where you actually begin to see yourself as an Ish Elyon. And when that happens, then it's going to hit you one day, by Yikra. Because an Ish Elyon, an exalted person, shouldn't be hanging out in such a disgusting, miserable little place. He belongs in a better place. He belongs in a better place. He expects more from himself. He demands more from himself. I told the Chevron school a little story, it takes a minute. The Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, Rebbe Mendel, he was a very deep thinker. Tzemach Tzedek, English Shire, Mamish. So he had a son, he had many sons, and the youngest was the Rebbe Maharash, the Rebbe Reb Shmuel, the fourth Rebbe. So when the fourth Rebbe was married, before he became Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek was still alive. So when the Rebbe Maharaj and Rebbe Shmuel was married, so being a Rebbe's son, you understand, it's royalty. So he moved into a nice house with his Rebbitzin. And the Tzemach Tzedek came to visit. Bayikar. The Tzemach Tzedek went to see his son and his daughter-in-law. So the Tzemach Tzedek came to the house and he's looking around for a long time. Like looking around. And the Rebbe Maharaj, his son, was starting to get nervous because he knew that his father is not, you know, an interior decorator. So the Tzemach Tzedek finally asks him, why do you have such big windows? So the Maharaj says, so there should be more light. So Tzemach says, ah. He was quiet for a while. And Tzemach Tzedek then said, by the Zaydi, by the Balatanya, I didn't see such big windows. By the grandfather, I didn't see such big windows. So the Maharaj answered, Reb Shmuel answered, and Taka by Zaydi. In Zaydi's house, it was Taka dark. So someone said, aha. He was quiet for a long time, and then someone said, I looked at him and said, listen to me. In Zaydi's house, the windows were much smaller, but there was much more light. That's the truth. Now they have computers that are called Windows, a system that's called Windows. And with Windows, you could be everywhere in the world. Such big windows with so little light. Big windows. About dark. Because if in yourself is darkness, then you could build the biggest house with the biggest windows and have the biggest car, the biggest bank account. You could have the shiniest, best-dressed kids in the world. Everything could be just fine. And you could remain small, pitiful, miserable, and dark. And the Tzemach Tzedek said to his son, to Rabbi Shmuel, listen to me. One day you're going to be a tzaddik. Don't worry about the size of the windows. Make sure there's a lot of light. It doesn't make a difference how big the windows are. You could have the smallest windows in the world, but to be a lichtige mensch, to be an enlightened Jew, to be shining. And if you're such a person, mamish, a person like that, a lichtige yid, when you meet a person like that, you know right away. You know right away when you meet a person like that. A lichtige mensch, a person who's shining. A person who's shining, and when a person talks to you, it could be the smallest thing, could tell you to have a good Shabbos, could ask you how you are, a lichtige mensch, and you're uplifted, you're inspired. So Hashem is Baruch, the Master of the world, should help us, that we should be worthy, that He should appear to us in the darkness with a little speck of light. And with that little light, if we act upon it, with that little bit of light, HaKadosh Baruch should help us with the Kiddush HaChodesh, to sanctify that moon, to make that moment holy. And the schus of that, Hashem will take us, mamish, to His big palace, and we'll move in with Him. And we're coming close to that time, when all the Jewish people are going to be worthy to be under Hashem's Baruch's talis, to be under Hashem's talis. And we have to prepare ourselves and become big people, so we'll be able to sit on Hashem's talis and not be blinded by that experience, but to enjoy it and to drink of that beauty and that greatness. We should be zoichim et Hashem, as ben nisan negalu, in nisan we were redeemed, ben nisan asid negalu, in nisan we will be redeemed, We should be zoicha to see the gula, hashleim of amitas, and pshat, and mehev yamin o'avein, amen.